27 verse 21. Genesis 27 verse 21. We'll be aware of the time. Try and be circumspect this morning. Stand with us if you're willing and able. We read this section, get it in our heads here. Genesis 27, 21. Isaac said to Jacob, "Come near, I pray, I may feel thee, my son, whether thou be my very son Esau or not." And Jacob went near unto Isaac his father, and he felt him and said, "The voice is Jacob's, but the hands are the hands of Esau." We interrupt a story of unbelievable chicanery. Isaac thinks he's dying. He's not. He's going to live quite a while. He sends his son Esau, the one whom he favored, the firstborn in one particular sense. He says, "Hey, go out, catch some animals, skin them, make the food that I really like." His mother, Isaac's wife, says, "Hey, we've got the last chance to steal something." She prefers, by the way, if you don't think favoritism will wreck a family, I offer you Esau and Isaac and what happened in their lives. She dresses him up. She makes some camouflage, as it were, for his hands. She fixes up a quick stew that's going to mimic things and sends him in. And mom instructs son, "Lie to your dad for financial gain." And he discerned him not, verse 23, because his hands were hairy as his brother Esau's hands, so he blessed him. Verse 24, he said, "Are you my son, Esau?" He said, "I am." He said, "Bring it near to me. I'll eat of my own son's venison, my soul may bless him." He brought it near to him, and he did. Brought him wine, and he drank. Father Isaac said, "Come near now and kiss me, my son." Skip down, if you would. Skip down to verse 30. It came to pass, soon as Isaac made an end of blessing Jacob, Jacob was now scarce gone out from the presence of Isaac, his father, that Esau, his brother, came in from hunting. Verse 34. And when Esau heard the words of his father, he cried with a great and exceeding bitter cry and said unto his father, "Bless me, even me also, O my father." Would you pray, Lord, front to back, left to right, help us realize the awesome potential we have to pour in the lives of young people, children, grandchildren, nieces, nephews. Help us hear, understand, and obey the scripture. Father, for those who are dealing with childhood traumas, difficulties, things that were sinned against them, may they realize they can be blessed indeed by you, the Heavenly Father. I pray even now we would seek healing, we would promote it, we would encourage it. Lord, we would not mock folks who've had a difficult time, and we would certainly not be arrogant or indifferent to those, Lord, who desperately need affirmation, particularly from you. And I pray you'd help us. Spirit of God, use me and fill me, I pray. I ask this all in Jesus' wonderful name, and amen. You can be seated. Be seated. Again, so good to see everybody today. And again, if I ain't got a chance to meet you yet, I'm Rodney. I'll be out in the lobby. Amen. I look forward to seeing you. And hopefully somebody greeted you, gave you a connection card and all that. And so, again, kind of different thing. In fact, I even thought about it. You know, I'm leading off with this or ending with this one, and we'll be, the end of the world, the revelation, the return of the king very, very shortly. But I'm convinced and convicted that so much of what we see today is we can go back to when we were kids. We were kids. And I'm not talking just sociologically, not trying to blame everything on family, but good or bad. So many times a teacher took an interest in it, maybe a youth pastor, a pastor. Maybe it was an uncle who poured into us. Maybe it was an aunt who pulled us aside and said, "Hey, I believe in you." It may have been a strong, loving mother. It could have been a stepmom. It could have been dad, granddad. The variations are endless. Thankfully, memory many times softens things. Maybe they weren't exactly the way they should have been, but memory softens. Sometimes memory sharpens, and we feel things even more sharply, the trauma and the mistakes that parents made or the sins that were done against us and all those kind of things. So to talk about everything like we're a 60s kind of show is not appropriate for everyone. Not everybody had that. Some of you have been saved out of that. Some of you, thank God, man, the chains are being broken, and you're doing differently now as an adult than was done to you as a child. By the way, if you're glad God can break the chains of the past, say amen. And so we're thankful for that. But we peek into this little story here, and you see it. You see mom with a favor and dad with a favor. You see dad acting like a dad. He's got a cold, so he thinks he's going to die. How many women in here know men who, man, when it's just the sniffles and it's all over? It's all over, you know, like that. And whatever's going on, again, he's going to live, I think, at least 20, maybe 30 more years. It's kind of hysterical in one sense, but he was really convinced he was going to die. And so he's here, and then young men who know better and who play along, at least one. And it's going to be a 20-year rift in their family. A friend of mine years and years ago, he preached to children of the 20th century. He said, when parents and step-parents play favorites, he said, you invite a Jacob and Esau situation. You invite disaster and trouble into a family. Every child is different, but every child must be loved and regarded as precious just the same, and help them find their uniqueness in their true calling that's here. I said last time, the fundamental relationship in all of life is a child to the parent. It is a relationship where a child gets their first view of God. I said, you cannot be wrong with your parents and right with God. I just don't think so. Now, again, your parents encouraging you to sin, those kind of things, I think you honor them in the Lord. I think that's where that stops. I think that's where it stops. I think when you become independent, I don't think you have to obey, but I think you do honor. I think you do honor. I walk that fine line every now and then, having a little fun with my mom and the memory of my dad, but I want to make sure that I honor them. I held the door the other day for somebody at a place. They said, thank you very much. You didn't have to do that. I said, I did. My mom told me that I did. And I can't find in the Bible where I need to stop doing that. So I'm going to keep holding the door and being polite. It's good training for me to make sure that I'm honoring and doing those things. Children have two basic obligations in one sense. They are to obey and they are to honor. If God blesses you with children, stepchildren, grandchildren, nieces, nephews, your job is to encourage them to obey and to honor. They obey parents they can see because one day they're going to need to obey a God they can't. They're to honor because they have been placed in a position of authority and accountability that's there. How many of you think today our public schools and everywhere else would kind of change if children obeyed and honored? Say amen. Raise your hand. Clap your hands. Again, I'm not an old guy sitting here going, I remember when. I think this is the human condition. I think in this day they needed to be taught to honor and obey, and that day, what we're just seeing now is the cascading effects that generation after generation after generation didn't honor and obey. Nod your head if you understand that. And so we see the cascading effect that's there. God says there's reward for those children. Somebody said fatherhood's changed a lot in years. Andra was having fun with me yesterday, and she said, it's Father's Day. You excited? Happy Father's Day. I said, I'm not your father. And how many of you think if your wife pays you a compliment, you shouldn't argue with her? How many of you think the preacher's not real bright? And I said, I'm not. Not your father. She said, well, you're my baby daddy. I said, did Allison teach you that word? And she'd been gone 2 years. She'd come home with all this gutter talk. I'm going to go talk to Allison. She's laughing. She said it to get me. I said, man, baby, I just popped a blood vessel. And she said, that's what you get for arguing with me. How many of you think I'm not arguing with my wife anymore for like days now, man? She got me so good. Somebody said, fatherhood's really changed. Said, how's it changed? So it goes. He said, well, said, my wife gets to boss the children, and my children get to boss the cat, and I can say whatever I want to the geraniums. And it's kind of how it feels sometimes, how it feels. Let me find his name here. Dwyer Brown. I've talked about Dwyer one time before in quarter of my notes. Dwyer Brown, the name you don't catch, but you know who it is. You know who it is. He was the man who played the dad of Kevin Costner in Field of Dreams. And Dwyer Brown has developed a cottage industry of traveling all over the place, opening up baseball parks, having Field of Dreams days. He said men will come up to him, they'll stop him at airports and say, it was the only time my dad and I ever connected with watching that movie, was thinking through that. And here's this guy who basically has no IMDb credits, but he is associated with one of the things that brings grown men to absolute tears, what either had happened or they wish would happen. And so when we look at this, man, we are fraught with this. We are thinking hard. Years ago, I was preaching on this one time with some teenagers. Said, how many of you had a mom or a dad? And I didn't have everybody raise their hand, so I'm not going to do that in here with us. Everybody looks a little sleepy, but chances are good most of you had at least one parent, right? Nod your head if you're still listening. How many of you think you might have had two? You PhD student, you nod your head. And so we're here. If you want a book that really helps flesh this out, if you want to go some more in depth, there's a little book that it's been reprinted several times. Gary Smalley, Gary's traveled around. He's got a different kind of ministry and all. had a different kind of ministry, but he wrote a little book called The Blessing, and I'm borrowing that title, The Blessing. He said there are four components that every person, every man, woman, boy, and girl, child, every adult needs to give to a child, every child needs to experience from adult, every adult needs to understand. Every adult needs to understand. So I want to ask you, if everybody needs a blessing, then what blessing do they need? And what does every adult need to do? And don't miss this. Don't miss this. Say, I'm single. I don't have children. You're not listening. Every adult and every child. I didn't say if you were their parent, and I didn't say if they were your children. Nod your head if you understand there's a little boy, a little girl still walking around inside everybody in this room who, on occasion, would really like to be blessed, would really like to know that it's okay, would really like to be affirmed, who can, with the right individual, feel about that tall, or all of a sudden be full of regret. These are things we all need. If you're still with me, say amen. Let me offer them to you quickly. Let me offer to you. Number one, everybody needs a meaningful touch. Meaningful touch. You're there. You're there in the scriptures. Go back, if you would, to verse 22. When Jacob went near to Isaac, his father, and he felt him and said, your voice is Jacob's, but your hands but your hands are that of Esau. Again, we'll see this repeated throughout. But first of all, he says a meaningful touch. This is not isolated in Scripture. Almost every time, greet the brethren with a holy, somebody help me finish that out, kiss. Physical contact. Say, I'm not a physical person. I would encourage you to get over it. I'm not asking you to be sloppy and silly, all those kind of things. Man, you can grab somebody by the shoulder. You can hold on to their elbow. You can give them a good, you can give them the two-hander. You can grab them like this and grab them on the forearm. Man, I love you. I appreciate you. You can do the side of, you can do those things. Just because you don't think you're wired that way, you may not be, but people around you are wired that way. Man, good job. Good to see you. Man, I love you. All those kind of, and particularly if you are a parent, a grandparent, a step-parent, you get to do that. In the life of a child, we are not all British stiff upper lip people that a hearty handshake ought to suffice. It's worth you being uncomfortable to prevent and promote a blessing in the life of someone else. By the way, how many of you in here, somebody's come up to you in just the right time, offered a hug, offered maybe a good handshake, maybe a shoulder, a side hug or something. Maybe just came up and patted you on the back and you immediately felt better. The gift of presence. The gift of presence. James Dobson did a bunch of research when he was head of the Focus on the Family. He figured out that we need multiples of 10 and 20, particularly in marriage relationships. We need multiple touches way before we need anything physical, intimate, or sexual. Men get in a lot of trouble when they skip all the steps, and the first time they do anything physical is when they're trying to lure everyone into the bedroom and do that instead of just simply, I am glad, I love you, and a pat or a tap or a hug or any of those kind of things. We get that maritally. Let me encourage you to do that the other way. I'm not asking you to get in trouble with HR. Nod your head if you're still listening. I'm not asking. I'm just simply saying, man, it's okay, man. Good job. Way to go. Give me a fist bump. Any of those kind of things. You matter enough for me to make contact with you. Mark chapter 10, Jesus does what? He brings the children. He puts them on his knee. He lays his hands on them, and he says what? And he blesses them. He blesses them. Young people walk through this building, man. It ought to be the greatest thing. For years and years, we participated in Upwards. Upwards is a Christian-based organization. Has basketball, and soccer, and it did have flag football. I don't know if they still do. They decided, man, we're going to make our own tunnel. And so every game, every time, they would do it by ages. And when they come in, they'd ask all the parents. They'd have all the coaches. They'd have everybody out there. And everybody come in. We're on the longest tunnel. Man, hey, we're glad. And you see the young people just light up. Why? Because they're getting blessed. They're getting touched. Man, it's good to go. Man, know people's name. I love you. I encourage you. You're doing great. Attaboy. Attaboy. Say, I don't think so. Let me rephrase it. You ever somebody freeze you out? Refuse to touch you? Refuse to be kind to you? Be cold to you? You try and hug them? You try and shake their hand, whatever? and they give you the frozen limp wrist fish. You didn't have to hear it from the mouth. You knew, I don't care for you. The children ought to understand, they do understand. You can't be bothered. You can't be bothered to do the most basic of things. They don't matter as much. He says he blessed them. He blessed them with a meaningful touch. Meaningful touch. Number two, he blessed me. He said a spoken message of love and affection. You smell like outside, verse 27. You smell like a field. You smell like a field. Now, when my mom and dad said that to me, you smell like outside, that was not exactly a compliment. Nod your head if you understand that. Not a compliment. I don't recall when we took showers. We most time took baths, which has suited my brother and I fine, because we would take a bath and we'd play Battleship, and then the water running out, and then we'd get in trouble. And so it was bath time, then spanking time, then bedtime. That was pretty normal for us. And we would do those things. We got to shower. That changed that. It's kind of hard to fill up a bathtub with a shower, or harder to do that. He says, I love the way you smell. I am thankful for you. He complimented him. He complimented him. I said it, I think, Wednesday night, if you just allow me to do it again, it's so fitting to me. My preacher used to say, man, kids be in there, and all of a sudden one of them have a little spill. He said, and all of a sudden said, man, I turned into a maniac. What are you doing with soda in here anyway? Why did you have that? Why didn't you have a lid on that? Why were you drinking on the couch? Man, it's on the couch. It's on the floor. Don't you know this? Oh! He said, but you let company come over. And they got a plate of nachos, sour cream, all that stuff on top of it. They can walk in and start juggling the plate, drop it, it lands on the most expensive thing there, and you'll look at the guests and go, oh, that's fine. It was old anyway. The people that you love, man, they just spit on Jesus. The people that are just your guests, you're going, oh, it's fine. I don't know why you were juggling a plate of nachos in the air, but it's okay. Isn't that funny how we are? We overreact and all those kind of things. You matter. You are who I love. You are who I want to be with. You can communicate words of acceptance and love. You can do those things. I used to think, man, some people are wired different. Let me help you. Let me give you the revised Rodney formula. You know what? I do think some people, and I think, nod your head if you ever had a bad day. Now, have you ever had a bad day and it turned into a bad week? Nod your head if you got so grumpy you didn't want to be around you. Okay, is that most everybody? The rest of you, just pray for those of us who are not that way. I think certainly it's personality, but some of it's just you're just okay being a jerk, and then you blame it, right? Let me rephrase. You ever heard somebody say, well, that's just the way God made me? You just blame God for your poor behavior. Don't blame God for your poor behavior. Instead, say, man, you know what? I'll find something to say. Man, I love the way you smell. I love the way you look. I'm thankful for you. It's the number three. He said he declared that he was of high value. Verse 28, may the God of heavens do and earth's riches give you an abundance of grain and new wine. May everything you touch, you are special. And I believe God's going to give you the best that he has. You are special. And I believe God's going to give you the best that he has. How many of us right now would go, man, I'd give anything mom or dad or stepmom or stepdad said that to me. You matter. You've got great potential. Again, I'm trying to encourage you to be the best you can be. You can be. Because God has something special for you. Your children, grandchildren, nieces, nephews, man, they ought to walk in on you praying for them. Some of you that your children are older and grown and you're adopting kids here, man, you walk up to them. I prayed for this week. I believe God's going to do something special for you at camp this week. Man, I am pulling for you this week. Man, I believe God's got something amazing he's going to do in your heart and your life. Communicate that way. You ever had somebody just honestly go, man, I just don't have time for you? You ever had somebody audibly sigh? You matter to me. I would give the world for you. I believe God's going to do something amazing for you. There's the four things. I want to wrap this up. I want to wrap this up. I want you to see this from the Father's perspective. He says you have a glorious future. Verse 29, many nations will serve, peoples bow down to you, be Lord over you, the sons of your mothers bow down. May those who curse you be cursed, those who bless you be blessed. It's important we get this, man. You have, there is the best is yet to come. Best is yet to come. I try and do this when I'm teaching some parenting, things like that, and especially with young men, sometimes with young women. I mean, you got to quit looking at mom and dad as a competition. Mom and dad are not the competition. Mom and dad are the coaches. Mom and dad want you to do better than they did. They want you to go higher than they did. They want you to serve Jesus more than they did. They don't want you to make as many mistakes as they did. Godly moms and dads, stepmom, stepdad, they are not the competition. You quit trying to beat them, and you instead soar. You have all the advantages. If you had those kind of advantages where somebody's helping you, and if you're starting at zero and the cycle has been broken and you're starting the new thing there, that's what you pray for your family and your grandchildren, that they go higher and reach farther than you do. How bitter and petty to dismiss a young person's success. God help us. Man, a glorious future. Glorious future. We prayed since the moment we could think about it, our children's future families. A couple of times, prayed again. Lord, if you let me live long enough, put my hands on a grandbaby and bless him, bless her. Because you changed everything in our lives, my brother and I's life. And my brother and I's life are so different than my family's life. And my family got right with the Lord and all my extended family. But it wasn't how I grew up. My kids didn't grow up that way. Things can be different. They've got so much for them. I said it before, man. It doesn't matter if anybody knows my name. Truth of the matter, it doesn't matter if anybody knows my name. I sure would like them to know my kids' name. I want them to go do something great for Jesus. Great for Jesus. You say, that's fine. You're reading into it. Don't miss it. This is exactly what the Father does to us. He offered us a meaningful touch. Matthew 1:21. That's the incarnation story. She'll bring forth a son. You'll call his name Jesus. He will save his people from their sins. He became one of us, the ultimate. He robed in flesh so that he would dwell among us. He became our kinsman redeemer. John 3:16 says what? John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believed in him should not perish but have what? Everlasting life. Has there ever been better news, by the way? Ever been better news? He became sin for us who knew no sin. We might be made the righteousness of God in him. You have worth and you have value. You be gentle to dismiss people. You can criticize their sin and their sinfulness, but you understand that sinner was a sinner Jesus died for, and he bled for, and he rose again for, and as long as they got breath, man, they have hope because he can change their life. By the way, some of you, that's still some of the best news you ever heard, that God loves you. God loves you. He doesn't love you in your goodness. He loves you in your mess. He loves you in your sin. He says you have high value. Revelation 1:6, he has made us kings and priests unto God and the Father. By the way, if you walk around today and you have a Christian father, Christian grandfather, stepfather, you call him king, you need to explain it. You need to explain it, all right? We're kings. God has no second-class citizens. God has no also's. If you've been bought by his precious blood, if he's redeemed you, man, you have such a glorious future. You matter. You matter. Anybody here, you just upset at how many times you blow it, mess up, sin, goof up, or let me remind you. God said, you matter. You have high value. Don't raise your hands. But if you grew up in a performance-based household, that's tricky for you to understand. If you grew up with constant, unrelenting criticism of the smallest and noblest thing, you may make a fantastic engineer, you may be all that in a bag of chips in some other areas, but you feel fractured inside. May I offer you some help? He has made you kings and priests with him. For God so loved the world that he died for you. He sent his son for you. If your earthly parents left much to be desired, may I offer you the Heavenly Father who has never, ever disappointed you once. He puts the premium on your life. There's a fourth one there, if you allow me to repeat. You have a glorious future. You have a glorious future. Colossians 1, 5, for the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, wherever you heard before, in the word of the truth of the gospel. Philippians 3, our lifestyle, our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Man, it's just going to get better. It's just going to get better. I said it so much it became kind of a truism. I stopped saying it, but if you'll allow me to bring an expression that really helps me, I say it a lot internally, but maybe it'll just help you finalize this, and then I want to offer you a way to pray. As a young person, Jesus loves me. Excuse me, my parents love me. And Jesus loves me. And that was a pretty good sentence, putting together some emotional things. Got married. Jesus loves me. My wife loves me. And Jesus loves me. Family loves me. Jesus. Wife loves me. Jesus loves me. Then we had kids. Extended family. Wife. The children. And Jesus loves me. Somewhere in my late 20s, early 30s, kind of figured out. Family loves me. That's cool. And my wife loves me. That certainly helps things. And the kids love me. That's just pure gravy. And Jesus loves me. It was a really, really good day emotionally. Really, really good day spiritually. Really good day holistically. Whatever expression you need. When I could say, Jesus loves me. In that be enough. And everything else just filled it in. If your heart echoes Esau, don't you have one blessing for me, Dad? What do you mean you don't have anything for me? I may not can help you. Truth of the matter is, your father may have passed, your mother may have passed, whatever. But I can invite you to sit at the feet of the Heavenly Father who loves you and who said all these things, and he absolutely means them, and I promise everything else matters. But you can have a tremendous foundation that Jesus loves you. And he has a glorious future for you. Every child needs to know this. Every adult needs to remember this. And we must constantly pass it down. Would you bow your head just for a second? I want to give you a little bit of instruction here. If you have a need this morning, I want to invite you in just a moment to come. You want to come ahead, pray. If you're here this morning, and you're 5 years old all of a sudden, or 8 years old, I want to invite you to come, ask God to continue that healing. I believe that's appropriate. If you're